Hello, and welcome to Education Radio. This is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I'm a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Luis Murillo.
Hi, Adri. As always, I'm very excited to be here today. Weather is changing, although today is a little windy, so we were spoiled for a few days there. But I'm very excited today because today we're going to talk about school nutrition, and we are going to find out what is it that we feed our kids and why. We're going to learn about some of the guidance there, so I'm just excited for that conversation to happen.
Awesome. You know, whenever we're testing, like now, it's even more important to make sure students are eating well. And so this morning as we started testing, it was like, all right, let's eat something, folks. So I'm glad we're having that conversation later. Well, let's begin with our first segment, Did You Know? So what new information are we learning about today?
Did you know that the Alamosa School District is working hard to improve our facilities? And starting next school year, we will see a few more upgrades.
I am well aware, yes. We've got some stuff that's already gotten started at OMS, but tell us about it.
The work, as you mentioned, has already begun this past summer. OMS started through the asbestos abatement project, as well as HVAC upgrade. This summer, OMS will be completed, and our elementaries will also get an upgrade on their HVAC system, which will improve air quality, air circulation, and cooling. Simply stated, this means that our schools will have AC for our students and staff.
Okay, that's something different for us, right? And so this will be happening at OMS and the elementaries only?
It's going to be happening at all of our schools, OMS, elementary, and high school. But the high school will happen the summer following this summer,
this summer.
A year from now.
Okay, yeah. All right. It's a process, right?
Yeah. Also, OMS and AES35 are getting brand new synthetic turf installed on their playgrounds.
Excellent.
Lastly, we have received bids for the 3-5 traffic loop project. If you're a parent who is listening and you have to drop off your kids at the K2 or 3-5, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we will be bringing a recommendation to the school board at our meeting on April 20th. So things are happening.
Yes, they are. Well, it's time to move into our next segment, yes? All right, so now we know about all the work being done at our campuses, and it will continue. It is a process. I've been busy packing and sorting through the things in my classroom in preparation for some of this work. All right, let's move on to getting to know our schools. Let's learn more about our guest today. Who are we meeting today?
Today, we're pleased to have a very special guest with us. Gwen Smith is our nutrition director. We were lucky to hire Gwen to lead our nutrition department last school year, but this is her first year in that role. She brings a wealth of knowledge regarding nutrition, and we are delighted to have her on our podcast today to speak to us about nutrition at Alamosa Schools. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Education Radio, neighbor.
Thank you.
Well, tell our neighbors, our listeners, a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And like Louise said, my name is Gwen Smith, and I'm the director of child nutrition since this last August. I have a Bachelor of Science in Foods and Nutrition from Eastern Washington University. I've worked with children in nutrition for over 20 years, starting with programs like the Women, Infant, and Children Program, Denver Children's Hospital, and Connecticut Children's Medical Center. As you can see, I have a passion for helping children and students learn about good nutrition and what the food they eat can do for them.
Excellent. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Gwen.
Yes.
Most of our other guests have been teachers or have been folks who are in the classroom in some way or support schools through MTSS. Now, you bring a lens of district level. So I ask all of our other guests to share what your day looks like. So would you please give us insight as to what a nutrition director does?
Sure, absolutely. Well, my day starts out at 6:30, and Ruth Fry, who's the lead in the program, she starts at that time as well. And along with all the managers at the school, we get the ovens going, warmers going, and we review with the staff if we have everything they need to do their job that day, or the menu items, the equipment, staffing, anything else you need to help your days run smoothly. So typically we get at least 3 to 4 food delivery trucks per week, and we assist with check-in. We want to make sure we got the right product. If not, we send it back and get the right one the next time, but that doesn't happen that often. We prepare nutrition education for the fruit and vegetable program. We talk with parents regarding their child's food allergies and what we can do for them so that we make sure their student is safe in our schools. We assist in the kitchen when short-staffed. We also help with deliveries. Some of the deliveries we get on the food truck also has to be delivered to the other schools, so Ruth and I will do that. We work on menus for each month, make sure they meet the nutritional guidelines for the USDA federal program for lunch and breakfast. And next, we may be working on nutritional analysis for the upcoming menus, even starting to work on next year, making sure they meet, again, all the nutritional standards given us by the USDA. We also get a big food delivery truck of fruits and vegetables, and that is actually run through the Department of Defense, of all places.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, that part is really interesting. And the reason they say they chose the Department of Defense is because they do a really good job of choosing top grade fruits and vegetables, so we can count on the best fruits and vegetables for our schools. We also work in on turning in all our bills for the week that we had all the deliveries.
Sure.
Wow.
So. Quite busy. A bit.
That's
right.
It in a nutshell.
Okay, so we we heard Adri talk about, you know, testing and making sure that our kids are eating and have a good breakfast. So my question to you is, what is the connection between nutrition and learning?
Yeah, that's a great question. Research shows that enough food and healthy food for make the connection between academic achievement. Studies show that students that participate in the school breakfast and lunch program get better grades, do better on standardized test scores, have reduced absences, and improved memory. And back when I was in college, they used to say a calorie is a calorie, but that has proven to not be true. All the foods that you eat do something for you. So if you can choose the foods that have the most nutrients in it, they're going to be able to provide more energy and things that help your body function so that you can do well in school.
Right.
Wow. So food matters.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
All right. So I have to ask you this.
Yes.
I've noticed that some of the foods we provide students and the portions have changed since I attended school. Can you tell us about, you've talked about nutrition rules and guidelines. Can you expand on those?
Sure. So the amount of food portion sizes in schools, like you said, has changed over the years. I can remember these huge cinnamon rolls with lots of frosting on it to go along with the chili, but that has changed. And the reason is the USDA did research that shows that when students are consuming too much, like let's say starchy foods or not the right amount of serving size of the foods, this can lead to poor health and other health concerns, like for instance being overweight or diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and high blood pressure. So the current guidelines are at least, the way they're set up is the grains that the children and the students receive in school need to be at least 80% whole grain, so not very much white flour, which doesn't have a lot of the fiber or the nutrients. They can't be more than 10% saturated fat and lower in sodium. And also our milk, the guidelines are lower in fat and fat-free versus full fat. And more availability of fresh fruits and vegetables. So what some of the comments we hear is students will say, oh, I don't get enough, or that's not the same portion size I would get at home. But we do like to remind them that the one thing we can do is provide more fruits and vegetables. So if they are still hungry, they can have more fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
And that is, again, free of charge. And the things that fruits and vegetables do is we probably all know, is they're lower in calorie and they're high in fiber, which helps us feel full longer.
That is great. So what I'm hearing is, it's not that the Alamosa School District chooses to cook certain things or limit.
Right.
We have guidelines.
Right.
And I knew this, but I'm happy that you mentioned that kids can go back and get fruit or salads. And let's talk about that.
Yes.
I know, of course, during the pandemic, some things went away and our salad bar went away. But yes. I am aware that we are now back to having a full salad bar. Can you tell us more about just what's on there?
Okay, so the one thing is we haven't actually gone back to the full salad bar, but we have gone to making salads.
Like okay, eggs. So tell us about
that. We do have that. So the students all have the option of choosing like maybe the main entree or the salad. So that's another way they can get more fresh fruits and vegetables. But it is something we are considering. Do we go back to that process of the salad bar?
Okay.
We do provide it.
Well, I am a fan of salad bars. So if they do ever make their full comeback, I might be making a stop at one of the schools.
Sounds good.
All right. So you've talked about fresh fruits and vegetables program.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we are participating in it currently. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
So the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Program is a grant program through the federal government, and it's for elementary age students. At first I thought it was, oh good, all students get exposed to this, but they start with this grant for the elementary schools, and what it's designed to is to have them try lots of different types of fruits and vegetables that they may not have been exposed to. And so we can actually, with this program, it does not have to be USDA. It can be from other countries.
Okay.
Because, for instance, it might be kind of hard to find star fruit or dragon fruit in this area. So we just want to make sure that they have the opportunity. And again, the more they get exposed to it, the more they're going to be apt to try to eat these in their diet and in the long term provide better health.
Wow. That is so interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that they're exposed to new things they might not have at home. I know it, you know, growing up, we all had certain things that mom bought, and that's what the family ate. But at school, then you get to try something different, right?
Right.
That maybe you can then introduce at home at some point.
Right. Yeah. And we have had some good feedback. One parent told one of the teachers, oh, my child said I need to buy broccoli.
you know, wonderful news.
Yeah.
Or we want to try another dragon fruit or star fruit. So,
that's good. That's good
feedback. That is exciting.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to us about the free and reduced lunch form.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we collect this data?
Mm-hmm.
How do we use the data?
Mm-hmm.
And why does it help to have all parents complete this form?
Okay, that's a great question, especially with we get the feedback, why do we have to fill this out if all students get free meals? So the reason we still want to fill it out is because there's funding attached to that. So we want to make sure and still collect that so that your school, the Alamosa School District, can get funding for different things.
And I know something else that was tied to it, I know that the Colorado Department of Education is looking for a better formula, but it was a sign of a poverty average, if you would call it that, or a measure.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that for us, and the reason why that matters is because with the current funding formula, schools who live in a more poverty-stricken area get a little bit more funding.
Right.
And our numbers have changed, which might not be a true reflection of where we're at.
Right.
Before the pandemic, we were somewhere in the 70% of free and reduced lunch. And last time I checked, we were 56 point something of free and reduced lunch. So please help us out, fill out those forms, and then make sure we get them back.
Right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, is there anything you want to share with our audience about the foods that their kids might be exposed to? Anything you want to share with our audience?
Well, one thing I would love to is anytime is to hear more feedback. So if anybody has some ideas or suggestions, we get calls every now and then from parents with suggestions. And maybe it's something with a child that has a food allergy. And then it makes us more focused on, okay, let's try to find a product that maybe doesn't have that food allergen in it.
Right. And is there ever like a poll maybe that the students could fill out. Mm-hmm. Because I've noticed, you know, there are some things that are very popular.
Yes.
And other things that are not quite as popular. Mm-hmm. So do you ever get feedback from the kids? Or is there a way that you get feedback about
that? Yeah, that's a great question. One thing we did do this late fall and winter is did breakfast surveys. So we had it go into each classroom.
Yes,
you probably remember that. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And just wanted to get feedback. Mm-hmm. What items are the students liking?
Right.
What are they not? And what do they want more of? And some of the feedback we got is they want more savory items.
Right.
So yes. Not so much sweet items. So uh-huh. That was good feedback.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And more protein with breakfast mm-hmm. would be nice, especially, you know, protein is really good for, you know, a lot of things, but muscle, brain,
right.
Everything like that.
Yes.
So we have been doing that.
So now I have a question just, and if you don't want, you don't have to answer it,
yeah.
But like during testing, does that figure into your menu?
It's a great question because we met with a couple elementary teachers and they said, during testing, can you provide more protein? So we did.
Excellent.
So, yeah, so we got the dates for the spring when the testing was happening and we made sure it was something that was a little bit more substantial and things like that. And we actually had the state reviewer here today from the state and she mentioned that she noticed that.
Yes,
that
I thought the breakfast the middle school kids got today was popular.
Yeah.
Which meant they ate it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, good. Okay. So that answers my question. Yes. Thank you. All right. Well, Gwen, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And thank you for the work that you do and glad that you're in the community.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's move on to our last segment, upcoming events. Well, we have some theater performances coming up at both OMS and the high school. Alamosa High School will be performing Sherlock Holmes, the Baker Street Irregulars, on Friday, April 28th at 7, and on Saturday, the 29th at 1 and 7. So they've added a matinee for this performance. Now, Ortega Middle School will be performing Frozen Junior on May 4th and May 5th at 7 o'clock. Both of those shows are sure to be entertaining and a fun evening for the family. You can buy tickets at the door for both of those shows. And I know that with Frozen, a lot of the middle school students will be seeing it during the school day, and I believe a lot of our elementary students will be watching Frozen Junior as well at OMS. But bring the family out and join us for an evening of theater one of those nights. What else is going on?
Baseball games are continuing at both secondary campuses along with track meets. There's lots of events that you can take the family to and enjoy, and then hopefully we have great weather with that wind.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that does it for today's episode of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District, students today, leaders tomorrow.